The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Happy meals. I'm loving it. The Golden Arches. Who doesn't know McDonald's? American fast food company founded back in 1940. Back then, it was a restaurant operated by Richard and Maurice McDonald in San Bernardino, California, United States. They later on changed the business into a hamburger stand, turned the company into a franchise. And if you want to know more about it, really, you should catch the movie The Founder that stars Michael Keaton. McDonald's is currently the world's largest restaurant chain by revenue. They serve over 69 million customers daily in over 100 countries across 37,855 outlets as of 2018. Not only that, according to two reports that were published last year, McDonald's is the world's second largest private employer with 1.7 million employees. McDonald's Singapore, they're celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. How has this fast food chain evolved over time? And I'm curious, what's the most popular item on the menu here in Singapore? Well, in the studio with me, how exciting on a Friday, Agatha Yap, Senior Director of Marketing and Digital Innovations of McDonald's Singapore. Good morning, Agatha. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
You see, just to have a McDonald's person in the studio makes everyone happy. Which was the first McDonald's outlet in Singapore?
That would have to be the inception year in 1979, okay. As you say, 40 years ago, at Liat Towers.
Oh, Liat Towers?
Yes.
And right now, how many outlets are there in Singapore?
We have 136 outlets here in Singapore.
Okay, yes. Which would you say is the busiest one?
I would say an iconic outlet would be the Marine Cove on East Coast Road.
Okay, I know that one.
Yeah,
so I would say it's been renovated recently. It's at least the past 2 years. It's quite nice, that one.
Yes, yes. That would probably be sort of considered our flagship restaurant. That would be one of the busy restaurants. Actually, quite a few of our restaurants are rather busy.
Right, and the most popular item on the menu here in Singapore, let's take away all the special stuff like the samurai burger and whatnot. See, I know my McDonald's. Which
Thank
is the
you.
Most popular one?
I would say, interestingly enough, sort of like maybe the top most popular burgers, one's actually made in Singapore for Singapore, which is McSpicy.
Oh, yeah.
So McSpicy is actually sort of, you know, would definitely feature sort of like our top most popular burgers in Singapore.
Right.
And the other would be the global sort of Filet-O-Fish.
Okay.
Yes, so we have a lot of supporters for these two burgers.
Yeah, Singaporeans have a spicy taste. I suppose that contributes a lot to the profit margins. Is there any chance you could share some with us?
The profit margin of these two burgers?
What kind of profit margins are you looking at where McDonald's is concerned here in Singapore?
Well, you know, as a marketing person, it really is about sort of like, you know, balancing everything. I wouldn't say that the starting point is about profit margin. I mean, the reality is, as any other commercial brand, you know, we would be basically, you know, selling for a profit. That's the reality. But I think our inception in terms of an approach from a menu and marketing perspective really starts with, you know, a great tasting product and relevance to also consumers' expectations.
Sure.
And certainly this has evolved over the past 40 years. I mean, we were, certainly the pioneers in terms of introducing this burger and fries and shake way of eating in Singapore.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now I suppose we're sort of like, at the right time, you know, sort of like inject the right level of energy with surprising twists. So I think Nasi Lemak Burger was one such. You know, sort of like, you know, locally inspired flavor, you know, given a twist.
Agatha, let's talk about marketing then. Nothing excites a marketing person more than when there's a new product to push out there. Mm-hmm. And I can see that, you know, when you talk about the Nasi Lemak Burger and whatnot. So here's one that I haven't prepared you for. Beyond Meat, this plant-based meat thingy. It's taken off in the States. McDonald's in Canada is going to do it. Singapore, some other restaurants are doing it as well. What's McDonald's doing about this? Wait and see, or is there a plan here?
I think there are two things that are going on. I think at a local level, you know, we're constantly on the lookout in terms of the right trends and and basically providing the right offerings at the right time that consumers need it. So that's one. At a global level, and given that we're, you know, really part of a global brand, you know, I think it really isn't about sort of like a quick reactive solution. It isn't quite a launch and leave. All I would say, you're right. So Canada is one such market testing. In fact, there are two markets testing this. And I think there are a lot of thoughts that go into this area of solutioning for food, and in a way that is both relevant to consumer needs and in a way that is sustainable for the business as well.
Sure. Fair enough. Back in 2016, McDonald's Corp sold its 20-year franchise rights in Singapore and Malaysia to Saudi Arabia's Lion Horn. Mm-hmm. I haven't noticed anything as a consumer, but were there big changes that happened in Singapore during this transition?
So the transition really happened end of the year 2016, really. So, you know, the actual transition in ownership, you know, so pre-developmental license, you know, we were all employed by McDonald's Corporation,
sure.
McDonald's USA. And as a consumer, you haven't noticed the difference because I think, one, by and large, you know, the management team and the crew stayed intact. The second thing I would say is the leadership team, inclusive developmental license leaders, are actually McDonald's, sort of like ex-McDonald's employees,
okay,
and they're
okay.
long-time employees, well-respected in the system as well. And we like to think that, you know, the very sort of like McDonald-ized, you know, we call ourselves having ketchup in the vein instead of blood. and so the shift was really fairly seamless.
Okay. That understanding of culture within the company.
That understanding of culture, the passion for the brand and everything. Sure. It's already in all of our sort of like lifelines.
I've got a curious question, and it's really about the R&D process in McDonald's. You guys come up with these interesting burgers, nasi lemak burger, samurai burger, and whatnot. Walk us through this process. I mean, how do you come up with these flavors, and did you yourself get to take part in the R&D process?
I do take part in the R&D process, incidentally, right. But you know, the credit's really not just me alone. So we basically have a cross-function team of about 10 of us and some external sort of like partners as well. And we meet up regularly to look at a couple of things. I think one is we look internally into the system. After all, you know, we have what, McDonald's in 120 countries around the world. So we like to think that actually, you know, we're a bit of a United Nations in food. I mean, if you think about it, there's probably a recipe for every burger that we can possibly think of. So, you know, our starting point is always sort of like what we call look into the internal arsenal for best practices. And recently, we've actually been able to leverage some of these best practices even here in Singapore.
Sure.
So, you know, for instance, the chocolate pie came from, you know, North Asia, came from the likes of Japan and Korea. And the current scrambled egg burger for breakfast, which is hugely popular, was actually a concept that we borrowed from McDonald's Hong Kong.
Oh.
So one key starting point, as I say, is this huge arsenal of recipe that's available in the system as a starting point. The other bit, obviously, is, you know, on the lookout for locally relevant injections, let me call that, and hence the inception of the nasi lemak burger. Obviously, tried and tested, you know, with while still maintaining our brand DNA. After all, we are really a burger and fries company. You know, we're not basically here to sell rice tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking for the right sort of like marketing opportunity, exciting consumers a little bit, but not deviating, you know, sort of like too far from their expectations. I think, you know, it really is about sort of like balancing the best of who we are and then providing that bit of excitement and taking a little bit of marketing risk in between.
Agatha, we turn our attention now to the theme of the world today, the shift in culture. Sustainability, it's a, I hate to call it a trending topic, but it is a trending topic. A good move on paper bags that I see. What about things like plastic straws and all this talk about single-use plastics where the Happy Meal toys are concerned?
You know, I would say that this is certainly something that the brand's really thinking about.
Yeah.
And it really is about looking for the right solutions that would do right to Mother Earth.
Sure.
But yet, you know, at the same time would prove to be sustainable in the long term. So to your point about sort of like plastic straws and plastic lids and that sort of thing, I would say that there's a team at the global level that's basically looking into various types of solutions. Actually, you know, one sort of like, I think one such sort of like hard fact that would perhaps, you know, surprise everyone is, given the scale of who we are, you know, switching out to something basically is an Herculean effort.
Sure, yeah.
And therefore the lead time to basically try prepare for this.
And you've built a culture as well. So you're fighting that culture for us as consumers.
So I think the other thing is basically, so one sort of like providing the hardware, the solutions,
sure,
you know, the alternatives. And I think the second is the role that we can take immediately, which is what we're basically doing here in Singapore, is basically try and, you know, encourage and educate consumers in the right way, mm-hmm, and have them basically think about, you know, what they need or what they, you know, not need. You know, today, I think you talked about having sort of paper bags instead of plastic bags. I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't have plastic bags in the restaurant. You know, we do encourage consumers to try not to use those, you know, as a starting point.
Let's talk a little bit about the digital world that we live in. I love these self-ordering kiosks, but I've always thought of McDonald's as a bit of a champion when it comes to hiring mature workers. So, two-part question here. First, have the self-ordering kiosks improved service quality? And what does this mean for the mature worker?
So let's answer first question, self-ordering kiosk. A very simple sort of like, I suppose, you know, tech inception of such.
Sure.
Right? And how it changes the way we basically, you know, transact with a restaurant like McDonald's. I think what we've basically seen is a huge level of comfort, actually, in the use of self-order kiosks. Today, we see approximately sort of like half of our consumers using this. And that's really quite a lot because we serve approximately 6 million customers every month. So you're really talking about 3 million people, you know, basically going to the self-order kiosk. And given that we're really sort of like Singapore's McDonald's, you know, we're not quite, you know, just a global brand in Singapore, but we're very much into the sort of like the fabric of we're everywhere, right? We're Auntie's McDonald's. That means it's actually, you know, sort of like very, very, it's actually very sort of like, I think, well utilized. And, okay, and certainly the comfort level is there. It's a sign of times as well, you sure know, when you were talking about sort of, you know, changing times and sort of like at the blink of an eye. So I think consumers like it for the empowerment. I think, you know, today we know what we want and we know, and that's what the self-order kiosk provides. And to your second question, I think we are and we were basically a champion of mature workforce. And by mature workforce, you know, we're really talking about workforce that are 50 years and older. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we value them for, you know, the wealth of experience that they bring, you know, inclusive the exciting lives that they lead. And we've actually not seen any impact in terms of the mature workforce that we hire. We still leverage them for their wealth of sort of like life experiences. And we've actually, let me put it this way, we've not reduced the number of crews we've hired. You know, let's call a spade a spade. But we've basically deployed quite a lot of them into either the areas of quality and serving, you know, hot food.
Other aspects of the kitchen,
other aspects,
right,
of the business, yeah, as well as the area of hospitality.
Yes, because they do deliver now.
Aside from delivery, actually, you know, we've actually would like to think that we've basically pioneered what we call table service.
Table service, yeah.
Yeah, you know, for what would be a, you know, self-service restaurant.
Yeah, I have noticed that as well.
Yes.
Agatha, I've left the worst for last, but we really got to talk about this. This McDonald's pajamas thing just blows my mind. Now, the thing about McDonald's, when they come up with a product, there's this collector's item syndrome that comes over as Singaporeans. We went crazy for the Hello Kitty stuff. I know people who keep McDonald's toys as collector's items. And recently there was a situation where you were giving out these McDonald's pajamas, but technology failed you on that front. People complaining that there was service disruption. How do you handle complaints, and what does this mean for tech development?
So I would say, I will say that, you know, even as a marketer with the brand, and collectively this is my 10th year here in Singapore, and then I have 2 years in China, this is something that's constantly, I suppose, fascinating for me as well. In terms of what you talk about, I think, you know, we're obviously very heartened by consumers' expectations of the brand and their excitement towards the things that we launch. In this instance, I would say that before we launch something, obviously we take the sort of the best bet that we can. We take cues from past performances of a similar kind. Now, we've never done a pajamas here in Singapore, and the intent really wasn't to sell pajamas. I mean, we really was actually what we really wanted to do was, and the brand basically, I do believe that the brand has the power to sort of create or promote certain sort of phenomena, certain trends and pop culture. And actually, it was a tongue-in-cheek way where we wanted to promote the fun of staying in and hence sort of like, you know, the pajama as sort of, you know, part of that whole theme. We anticipated, you know, 5 times the usual traffic in our preparation. That would basically be, you know, accessing the delivery website. It's completely overwhelmed us because, you know, on the launch day, we basically saw 20 times of the traffic.
Wow.
And therein, you know, that's caused a complete lag to the system. Okay. I mean, this is the entire truth that I will share with you. And I think, and therein, you know, it's caused consumers difficulty to access the website. And we wouldn't have wanted to see this happen.
Sure.
I mean, no marketer would want to see this happen.
Yeah. But there are some positives. Five times to 20 times is quite cool.
That really certainly taken us by surprise. It is a nice surprise. But nevertheless, you know, it isn't a time to sort of like, I think, gloat about numbers.
Sure.
You know, we had to react very quickly. And therein, you know, basically immediately creating a microsite for, you know, pre-orders. Because at the end of the day, I think, you know, it is a responsibility towards consumers, and we have to basically address the situation up front. You know, we're not going to shy from it or run away from it. It is what it is, and we learn from it. But, you know, let's basically deliver on our brand promise first.
Agatha Yap, Senior Director of Marketing and Digital Innovations of McDonald's Singapore, in the studio with us. Thank you so much for sharing with us that.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.